Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, where we hear stories from entrepreneurs who are living their absolute best life, loving what they do. We've got a great guest in store for you today. I have Kimberly Spencer, and she is an award-winning high-performance coach and trainer, Amazon best-selling co-author, international motivational speaker, and the founder of CrownYourself.com, helping high achievers build their empire and sparkle with holistic fulfillment in their bodies, businesses, and relationships. Her 10-year track record in sales and entrepreneurship was featured in the Amazon bestseller book, The Start, Journey to Entrepreneurship. Her work has been featured on the CW, ESPN, and NPR, and in Thrive Global, Girls Life, and Forbes. It is my pleasure to welcome Kimberly to our show.
Thank you so much for having me, Belinda.
Yes, this is exciting. So what a great bio there. And I can't wait to just jump in here and get to know you a little bit better. So let's start by just filling in some of those gaps of your bio and tell us more about the journey. Like, how did you get where you are today?
Oh my gosh, it was definitely a journey of following my curiosity, because when looking back, it all makes sense now. But I had several different careers before becoming a coach. And I'm really happy I did, because all of those really guided me into what is my genius zone. And my genius zone is something, the genius zone in general is what I work with on my clients and really tapping into, because I have seen a direct correlation in the past 3 years with working with tons of business leaders and entrepreneurs in how much time they spend in their genius zone and how much money they're making, especially with my solopreneurs and side hustlers who are just starting out. And what started for me was I've always been a super ambitious person. And I used to, I look back and I was very audacious with my asks. When I was 17, I already knew what I wanted to do back then, and that was working in Hollywood. And so I immediately jumped in to training with a very exclusive acting coach who didn't take anyone under the age of 18 until me. And I just was very tenacious. and so I started working with him, and I used to think it was acting and screenwriting in Hollywood that was the thing for me. Like, for years growing up, that was what I wanted to do. Looking back, I see that that was really because I didn't think that any other career would give me the income or the impact that I would see Hollywood celebrities have. But also back then, what I was working through was how to deal with feelings, and all of the tools and the training from that school of training serves me now as a coach in really tapping leaders into their feelings that sometimes leaders cannot express when they're with their team, when they are with their community. Leaders are amazing, extraordinary humans, but sometimes they need that safe space to be able to express and share and meet with someone as a coach that can guide them, that is beyond the realm of their team, because they know that they are responsible for their team, for their families, for the team members' families, to put food on the table. That is super powerful. So understanding their emotions, so being able to unlock them. And so I was studying acting and screenwriting, very audacious. I got the opportunity to write a screenplay. I also simultaneously, because acting and screenwriting in Hollywood does not pay much money when you're first starting out, I started teaching Pilates. And that was also back when I was battling a 10-year battle with bulimia. And Pilates was the first form of exercise that just made me feel so freaking good that within a month, of doing it, I saw results, I felt results, and I was like, oh my gosh, I have to help other people. I know I'm not alone with feeling awful about my body every day until that moment. And I said, I have to teach this. And so within 6 months, I was certified. I was teaching full time and working as a screenwriter and a script reader in Hollywood. And I got the opportunity to write my first feature film. And it was so exciting. And I wrote the film, dream come true. Flash forward to 2012, because it took like 3 years from inception of getting the opportunity to actually having it come out. 2012, I was at the premiere. It got picked up by Lionsgate. It was going to be on Netflix. And I was at the premiere and I was surprisingly only 90% fulfilled. And I was like, whoa, what, this is my dream. Like, what's going on? And I was at the premiere, and 2 weeks after the film premiered, I had this moment where I got a phone call from a friend who was at the film premiere, and she had brought a friend of a friend and her friend's son. And because when you write a movie, you get extra tickets.
Okay.
And so what her friends, she told me 2 weeks later, your movie changed her friend's son's life. And I was like, wait, what do you mean? And she said, the story that you told in the film, which the story was a young kid who wants to get, who basically changes himself to be part of the cool crowd. And her son was on the same trajectory. He was getting into doing drugs and partying, but he saw the film and it made such an impact for him that he changed his life. He stopped hanging around the people. And I was like, boom, that's what I want to do. I want to transform people's lives. I want to transform people's stories. And I finally connected the two, that I was already doing that with the work that I was doing in teaching Pilates. And so I had opened up my own private studio. And then at the same time, I got the opportunity to become the president of an e-commerce company startup that was selling this new back stretching device. And with my Pilates background, I had a lot of awareness of I found the product to be fantastic for my clients. And I was like, I want to be a partner in this company. So I thought, okay, maybe transforming people's stories starts with like, maybe I'll transform them with their bodies with this back stretching device. And so I threw myself for 2 years into this e-commerce company, which looking back wasn't aligned, but it was in many ways because it taught me everything I know about marketing, about publicity. I mean, we got our product into Times Square. I got to pitch to the first round of Shark Tank auditions, which was really fun.
Yeah.
It was growing. And then in 2014, my 3 months before I was about to get married, my business partner told me that he wanted to buy me out. And for me, that was the most crushing defeat. And I wish legal stuff on no one because I was dealing for 3 months when I was supposed to be planning my wedding on dealing with lawyers. And it was the first time I'd ever had my integrity called into check, my experience, my youth. I felt like I was put through the ringer. And we signed the buyout agreement 3 weeks before I walked down the aisle. I got married. I got on a plane to go on my honeymoon in Italy. And I was on my honeymoon with my husband. And I'm like, what am I going to do when I get back? Like, I had no idea because I had my Pilates studio, but it wasn't really fulfilling. The e-commerce company, it still wasn't 100% fulfilling. And it was the first time that I'd ever had really crushing doubt about my abilities, about my capability, about who I was as a person and who I was as a leader. But as I was sitting on my couch in our beautiful Airbnb in Italy, and I had probably way too many espressos, and my husband and I were just brainstorming on how I could combine my passion for pageants and sparkles and leadership and my passion for health and the body and energy and really stepping into having holistic success, because I figured out the relationship thing with having an extraordinary husband. And I'd been in business. I'd had two businesses by now. And I was like, I didn't know what it was, but I literally leaped off the couch and I said, "Crown yourself." And my husband says, "What's that?" And I said, "I don't know, but that's what my company is called." And so I immediately went into action, but I went into what I call productive procrastination action, because I didn't have clarity on what my business was. I knew it was coaching in some way, but it started out as a blog, and I wasn't putting out product, or it really wasn't a business, because I was barely eking by making money as a coach, because my self-worth was so low that I was only charging like $100 a month. $100 a month for coaching. And my clients were getting $100 a month worth of results. And so they were getting some results, but they weren't really catapulting. And my belief system and myself was so crushingly low. And my self-doubt was, and I had so much fear that I was building a website and I was, you know, posting occasionally on social media, but I wasn't showing up consistently, vibrantly. And in my life, in my regular life, I still wasn't showing up consistently and vibrantly. I was showing up with a lot of blame, complaining every day. And I realized that I didn't like the person that I had become. And I looked back on all of the things that had made me successful in the past, the audacity to go for my goals, the audacity to make big asks, and to just say, this is what's happening, this is what I'm going for. And that's when I found out I was pregnant.
Wow.
And I knew that the person that I was when I was pregnant, when I had found out that I was pregnant, was not the person who would be the best version of a mother to my son. And so I said, I'm going to do anything I can to get this business off the ground. I immediately was dry, like within a week of finding out I was pregnant, I signed up for NLP certification to get certified in timeline therapy, hypnotherapy, and NLP. I immediately, after certification, went out and had my first $1,000 month, which for me was a huge deal back then, because that was just, oh my gosh, I actually did something that was at the level, just scraping the surface at the level of what I used to do. And it gave me belief. And as Tony Robbins says, money loves momentum. And so I just built off of that momentum, because I knew that the title of CEO or business owner didn't scare me enough. The title of mom did. I really was heart set on being an extraordinary mom, and I knew that my business would help shape me to be that, just like I know that my son helps me daily. I always say I've worked with some amazing coaches. He's been my best one because he's just a little mirror walking around where I see, okay, this is where I need to grow in this area. Maybe I need to grow in my compassion, or maybe I need to grow in my patience, or maybe I need to grow in my presence and intentionality, or my planning. Because he's just constantly a reflection of where I need to grow on a daily basis. So then we just fast forward to now, and I have clients all over the world, and I'm just so blessed to be doing this work and to really be working with leaders, because now I look back on that experience, especially when I was dealing with like crippling self-doubt and the belief that I like this broken mindset. And I look at a lot of the people I've been able to help and serve, I have now empathy for that, because I'm not that 17-year-old audacious. Now I'm audacious again, but I had to relearn that. I had to reprogram that resilience into me. And that was something that has served me, because I now can see my clients from that place of empathy, of oh yeah, I get the fact that you're dealing with crushing, crippling doubt because your numbers aren't where you expected them to be. And I get the fact that you're questioning if this is like, when will this happen for you? But trust me, stay the path. Like, let's dive deeper. Let's get clearer. Let's get you more energized. Let's put in more energy behind this. Let's optimize your systems, make them a bit more effective, and really help you with your influence and your messaging skills. And we just fly. And my clients have achieved extraordinary results, which is so fun for me to see. Like, my greatest success is seeing my clients' results.
That's awesome. So what, let's switch gears a little bit. So what have you identified as kind of like your superpower, like your skill sets that have really helped you along this journey and helped you with your current business today and being an entrepreneur?
So my number, like, I have a couple of them. My top, my three that I have that are my superpowers are, one, challenging. Number one, I'm an Enneagram 8. I am a challenger. And one of the questions I ask a lot of my clients is, when you were a child, who did you get in trouble for being? And I got in trouble for challenging my parents' behavior. And when you're five, that's not really the best choice. But that was because I was growing up in a, I grew up in a household with an addict, and my dad was an addict for 30 years. He's now a year fully sober, which I'm super happy about. And he, growing up, I grew up with four dads. I had the really awesome sober dad, and I had the other three that were the pill popping, the pothead, and the alcoholic, which weren't so fun to be around, especially the alcoholic. And I challenged his behavior because I saw him when he was sober in his highest magnificence as just this really extraordinary person. And I learned at a very young age that people are not their behaviors. And so when my clients come to me, and they set this, they are able to tap into the vision of who they want to be, the best, most healthiest, most successful version of themselves. I see that, and I hold that vision for them probably before they do. One of my clients, she worked with me for 2 years, and at the end of 2 years, she was starting to grow a $1 million company. And she's like, oh my God, Kim, did you ever think that this was possible? And I said, 100%. Because when she started working with me, she was a hot mess. Fully admit she was a hot mess. but I saw that highest magnificence. I saw what she could become, and I saw that her current struggle was not that. And so why my skill is challenging is because when I see behavior that doesn't match that version of you, who you aspire to be, who you need to be, do, and have everything you want in your life, then I challenge that behavior. I challenge those excuses. I challenge those beliefs so that we can take it to the next level real fast. My other superpower is connecting. It is, I'm just a super connector. I'm constantly sending out what I call karmic emails, where I have a gut instinct of this person needs to be met, like paired with this person, or this person needs to go on this person's podcast, or this person needs to be a client for this person. And I'll send those, what I call karmic connections, because I believe in the law of karma, that it is returned infinitely, maybe not by that person. I don't expect it to be a favor to be returned, but I know the universe is going to return it to me. And so connecting has been one of my superpowers. And then storytelling, reframing people's stories, reframing the beliefs, because what's holding you back from why you don't have what you want right now is the story that you're telling yourself about why you don't have it. And so I work on, that's where my background as a screenwriter comes in, is I see the story that people are telling themselves, and then I reframe that. And then I say, well, what if you looked at it from this perspective? Or what if you shifted it and thought of it with through the lens of compassion instead of judgment? What if you looked at it through the lens of empowerment and fearlessness instead of fear? And so we shift the perspective, because the problem is not the problem. The problem is your perspective on the problem. Because once you can see the problem through the lens of it being an opportunity for your learning and your growth, so that you can become that person who you aspire to be, that that is where we tap you into awesomeness. And it's so fun.
That's great. Let's talk now a little bit about like one of your most outstanding accomplishments. And then we're going to talk about one of your greatest challenges. So why don't we start with one of your accomplishments that you're super proud of?
That's definitely my son. That is my son. And that is also my, the way I had him. I had such a gut instinct that I wanted to have a natural childbirth. Mm-hmm. And I had come back fresh from NLP training. And I came back and I got diagnosed with placenta previa, which basically, if I had wanted to have a natural childbirth, I would have bled to death. And I was like, well, I'm unavailable for that. And I just, in my gut, in my heart, in my soul, I just felt like my child needed to be born naturally for whatever reason. And so that going through that process of holding a vision so strong that I said, this goal is happening. And I did. So whenever I came up with a challenge like placenta previa, or I was also diagnosed with polyamniocentesis, I believe it is, which only 1% of pregnancies get. And I each one of those challenges, I said, nope, I'm unavailable for that. And I used meditation, mindset, and just held that vision for what I wanted. I was able to give birth to my son naturally. There was nothing more empowering than 24 hours of labor, because I literally remember sitting in the birth center and saying, if I can do this, I can do anything. Scaling a business is nothing compared to labor. And it was one of the most, the greatest accomplishments to give birth naturally, to have that experience, to be able to cheer my son on. It was such a lesson in coaching when you're in the space of a challenge, when you're in the space of a life contraction or a literal contraction. One of the things I've learned that was so powerful through this success, and why it is one of my greatest successes, is that when you cheer on your challenges, the result comes a lot faster. Because I found that I was actually fearing the contractions, which is why it took so long. I found that I was adding fear to the contractions, which would actually make me contract more and be in more of a contracted space when I should have been able to relax and let go and have those moments in between the contractions. And that was a moment where I realized, where my doula said, oh, Declan's working just as hard as you are to get down the birth canal. And I was like, whoa, this little baby is having his first experience of hard work. And I was like, I've had 30 years of this. I should be cheering him on. And I started cheering him on, and I put the focus off of me and my own fear, and I put it onto him and his own championship. And that changed the game. And it's a lesson that I passed on to all of my entrepreneurs, where when you're feeling stuck, it allows you to have that shift when you put your focus on someone else, when you put your focus on championing and cheerleading someone else, and it actually trains your brain to be championing and cheering for yourself as well, because your subconscious mind is always listening.
Wow, that's a great story, and it's a great analogy that people can sort of hang on to, I think, pretty easily. So let's talk about your challenge. What's one of your greatest challenges that you faced, and how did you work through that?
Oh, the challenge was definitely shifting my mindset around blame from being bought out of my first e-commerce company, because that experience was the first time, like I said, that I really ever had crushing doubt about my ability to accomplish or achieve any goal. It was the first time I'd ever really felt like I'd lost or failed in a big way. Mm-hmm. And that failure taught me so much. It gave me so much empathy for when people get stuck and are in a place of feeling stuck and have don't know where to turn. And it gave me so much compassion now in hindsight, both for myself and for others who are going through that questioning of your ability, of the belief in yourself, if your idea is even worth it, if when will this ever happen, that shifting of the mindset of banishing blame, because blame is a natural, like it's a natural thing for us to do, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody really likes taking
ownership,
full ownership and responsibility in the moment. Like, it really sucks. It's not a sexy principle, and yet it's the only thing that will move you through it. And it was very easy for me to blame the lawyers, for me to blame myself, my former business partner, for me to blame every single person, including myself. And the thing is that blame is insidious. It is insidious, and it permeates everything that you do. And every relationship that you have. Like, I found that my relationship with my husband wasn't as poppy. It didn't have that spark. And it wasn't because, like, it wasn't sexy and fun and anything was wrong with that. It was because the blame was leaking out where it was. I was spending most of my time complaining, mm-hmm. and not a pleasant person to be around. And it taught me so much that mindset really is the only set that you need, because shifting my mindset around blame, and especially with high achievers, and I see this a lot with my clients, with high achievers, we're very skilled at also blaming ourselves. Like the blame, we can blame other people sometimes, but blaming ourselves, it's like, put yourself up on the martyr pole. Like, that's what I was doing. I was this martyr for this lost cause. And thinking of it in that way was so detrimental to my momentum, to my progress, that I wish I had had a coach back then that just said, how can you let this go? How can you let this go? How can you forgive yourself? How can you forgive your business partner? How can you forgive lawyers who are just doing their job? How can you create forgiveness? Because when you create forgiveness creates space. There is a universal law that is one of my favorites. It is the law of the vacuum, and nature abhors a vacuum. When you walk on the beach and footprints are left in the sand, the ocean will eventually fill it. And then sand from the ocean will eventually fill those holes. And the same is true for any belief. The same is true for anything in your life, is that when there is a vacuum created, something else will fill it. It's your choice to decide what is that fills it. And that was such, a learning lesson for me, that I had to let it go so that I could let something new in, something glorious, and a beautiful business that I absolutely love, a beautiful son, a family, a life that we're able to now live in Australia semi-permanently for a little while, just because we were down here. Like, that is so extraordinary. And I look back in any other business, I wouldn't have been able to have that except for one that was fully mine. And that's something that I am so grateful for, every hardship that I went through, because it just shaped me. I literally, we're down here in Australia right now, and we were down here a month ago for a convention. Yes, a convention that my husband was appearing at, and my parents came down, and they were spending their vacation time. I'm very happy they got on a plane. They were able to go back home. But that I remember saying, when I told my mom, we're going to stay here for a few months, because it felt so good to be here in Australia. People just seemed a bit more level-headed than in Los Angeles. And people were taking precautions, but the grocery stores were fully stocked. And we just decided, like, and we got a great place that's a block away from the beach. And I said, yeah, no Airbnbs are renting, so we're going to get a killer deal for the next few months. And so we just decided that was what we were going to do. And I remember telling her, though, that I believe that every experience in my life has prepared me for this moment.
So just to give all of our listeners a point of reference, we're recording this here right in the minute in the midst of this global pandemic. And so you are self-quarantining in Australia, being from Los Angeles. So just to make sure that everybody understands what we're referencing there. And so where in Australia are you guys at?
We are in the Gold Coast, which honestly, I don't think for a company called Crown Yourself, would there be any better place than in Queensland, in the state of Queensland on the Gold Coast to grow.
I have visited the Gold Coast many, many times and stayed in some pretty awesome properties there. So it is when you were saying that, I'm like, I just vision her being on the Gold Coast right now. That must be where she is.
Yep. It is beautiful here.
It is. It is indeed. All right. So what advice, Kim, would you give to others who are wanting to enter this entrepreneurial journey?
Cheer on your resilience. Strengthen that. Like, it is the muscle that you will need, the muscle that will, that needs to be trained. It is, it, you can theorize about it. I had one of my clients on my podcast, and she wrote her thesis on grit and resilience. And she shared with me that the practice of resilience through actually putting the work that she did into practice, so different than theorizing. Like, actually celebrate your resilience. That is something that even at the end of the day, when you feel like, man, that day was hard, I got told no like 10 times. Celebrate the resilience to wake up tomorrow and go for that 11th. Like, that is one of the greatest muscles as an entrepreneur that you can train. The other thing is follow your curiosity. You are allowed to pivot. You are a person before you are a brand, before you are a business. You are allowed to pivot with your curiosity. Like, I thought that Hollywood was my jam, and it really wasn't. It was the storytelling and allowing yourself to let the how shift, but be who you need to be able to be that. Because the how will come, the how can jump forms. The how will shift, and it can shift, and your business will evolve. What needs to deepen is strengthening that core of who you are, of who you really are. And self-esteem is strengthened. Self-esteem and self-worth is strengthened by doing things and acts that are worthy. And so make your business a worthy cause to go after, not just for you, but for the people that you are serving. That is so key, is to become absolutely obsessed with your customers as well. Become obsessed with them, not in the how, because a lot of entrepreneurs fall in love with their products and their services instead of allowing for that pivot. Like, I started out as a body image mindset coach. If I had held fast to that perception, I don't think I would be where I am today. And I don't think I'd be working with the leaders that I'm able to work with today, because I started out in body image and wellness, and then it moved into mindset, and then it moved into high performance, and then it moved into high performance for business leaders. And I allowed the how to evolve as I grew, and as my customers grew and shared with me what they needed from me. And as that shifted and pivoted, I didn't hold myself like, no, I am a body image and wellness coach. No. I allowed myself to pivot. Because I was obsessed with serving my customers in the way that they needed to be served, not in the way that my ego needed to be served because I had this program or this thing that I wanted to push out into the world.
Right. So, Kimberly, this has been a lot of really, really wonderful information. I'm sure many of our listeners have been inspired today by many of your nuggets and pearls of wisdom. I know I took just a couple of things, couple of notes that stood out to me, and that is mindset is huge, and blame is really not the thing to be. You waste your energy with blame, and then it really holds you back from growth. And so I think those are two things right now that They stand the test of time forever. The way that you show up is the way you go up. You know, the way you think Amen. About what you're doing is so important. And then also you waste so much negative energy on blaming. It's like, just take your own responsibility in the situation, bless and release, and move on. And those are two big life learning lessons that takes a lot of people a long time to grasp, and some people never grasp it, quite honestly. But I think at this time when we're all really going through a lot of really challenging emotions and we feel out of control because nobody's really in control. We're only in control of what's in our house right now, really.
Exactly.
And so people feel a little bit out of control. They don't know when it's going to end. There's a huge amount of uncertainty, but we do know it will end. And so I have just been really spending a lot of time on, you know, let's focus on keeping a good, healthy mindset. You know, what do I have control over today? What can I be proactive in today? And of course, there's no sense. It's just a lot of wasted energy of people blaming everybody for the situation that we're in. And so I would just like to encourage everybody to not only pull these forefront in your mind right now, because it's going to help you get through this time, but these are two big life lessons that are going to help you in all of your interactions, whether it be business, whether it be personal relationships, whether it be with your family. They're things that are important. So thank you for sharing those.
Absolutely. I mean, mindset, it's a practice. It's not a pill. Like, everybody's looking for a magic pill that this will like suddenly change everything. No, it's a daily practice. And there is no better time than self-quarantining with your family to question your mindset and how you're thinking about things. Mm-hmm. Because you are the thinker of your thoughts, you are the feeler of your feelings, but you are not your thoughts and you are not your feelings. And your thoughts and feelings can change should you decide to become aware of them and then choose a different thought, choose a different reality. And so when I catch myself in a thought of blame, because like I said, it's a natural reaction. Mm-hmm. When I catch myself in a thought of blame, I look at that thought from like an anthropological perspective rather than from a place of judgment of, oh crap, here I am blaming again. No, I look at it from an anthropological perspective saying, isn't that interesting? Isn't that an interesting thought? Now, how does that thought make me feel? That thought makes me feel like crap. That thought makes me feel that maybe that those like little bits of, oh, well, at least, you know, like that, you know, juicy jealousy or whatever it is. But I'm like, okay, do I really like feeling those negative emotions? Do I really like feeling that, that envy or that, you know, some of those momentary ego satisfying feel good feelings that you feel from feeling a negative thing and blaming, but it's not really a permanent, it's not joy, it's not love, it's not compassion, it's not abundant. Looking at those temporary feelings and saying, you know what, I would much rather choose joy. So how could I choose joy instead right now? How could I think of this situation or this, you know, issue with my toddler from a place of fun, from a place of curiosity? How could I think of this differently? And then allow yourself the time while we're in this space of self-quarantining to be able to question the natural thoughts. I hesitate to say natural. I would say conditioned thoughts that you think on a regular basis, and just question them, question everything, question if those beliefs are serving you now. Because And for your business, for your money, for your family, for yourself, for your body, for your health, question if those thoughts, if those feelings are serving you. And if they're not, then choose something different. You can choose into anything when you're aware of it and you're not judging yourself for it, but you're just pleasantly and presently aware of it.
Great. Well, if you could just close quickly with telling us any exciting things that you're working on, and how can our listeners find you?
Yes. So my Revolutionary Empire Builders for helping business owners build their businesses online, which there's no better time than right now to learn how to do that. The waitlist is happening. So jump on the waitlist and you may get a special surprise of a opening. We are launching that in a month from now. So that is really exciting for me. And the waitlist is always open. So you are always welcome to hop on. If you miss the launch, that's totally fine. Just hop on the waitlist and you will get notified first thing about when it opens again so that you can learn the six principles, the six pillars of building your business, which is mindset, skill set, systems, branding, marketing, and sales. And I teach you all of that. And that is my super fun passion project that's going down right now, especially with what's going down in the world. And you can find me at crownyourself.com. If you're interested in that program specifically, crownyourself.com/Revolutionary Empire Builders.
Very good. Well, once again, Kimberly, thank you so much for being on our show today. I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in with us. And one of the things that you can do for us, if you enjoyed the episode, please leave us a comment. We appreciate the reviews. They really help both of us with what we're doing. And also make sure you subscribe to Work From Your Happy Place so you don't miss a single episode. With that, I wish everyone the absolute best and keep working from your happy place.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.